Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horik and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys in the Netherlands. Welcome. Welcome, Thomas Plocher, to the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Elias and Mark. It's my pleasure to be here with you on this beautiful morning here in Southern California. Maybe a little bit, for my, about me, if you will. I grew up or born in Germany, nearby the Stuttgart area, and then I made it here over to the U.S. Many years ago to Colorado, and at some point I landed here in Southern California, next to or just south of Los Angeles. I will tell you, it's a very nice area, and it's really great to be here. But with the modern technologies, right, we can work basically from anywhere in the world and exchange information or learn from each other, at any point.
So we had some guests on the podcast before that came from Europe and moved to, I think, Colorado. Henrik Becker, the Chief Revenue Officer at NetResults, just recently moved from, I would say, Utrecht here in the Netherlands to Denver. And we're pretty jealous there because you guys have all the beautiful weather and the beautiful snow. And so you have to explain us what we have to do in order to get a life like you, Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, everything, I keep saying everything is happening for a reason, right? I mean, I wanted to be, since you mentioned Colorado, I want to be more specific. I had the chance, right, when I was young, to raise my hands and say, hey, can I go to America?
Right? Yeah.
Long on hold, they literally picked me, right, and said the company I used to work for, they picked me and sent me literally to Colorado, right, for initially for a few years, and then I decided, hey, this is a very nice place. We have the mountains, as you said, the quality of living is phenomenal, and so I decided to stay there. Right, it was actually that easy.
So and nowadays, we'll mention your LinkedIn profile a little later, but you're also working for Marketry. Could you share a little on what you do professionally at the moment?
Yes, certainly. So I I'll step back just a few years. So I developed a keen interest during all my life, right, to really be out there focusing, on sort of the sales and marketing activities, be in front of the customers, in really helping building marketing departments. Way back in the in the times from when I was working at HP, for example, I had a chance. I was given the opportunity to assemble, to build marketing teams, and I then when I left HP, I really like to go deeper, right, into the marketing, especially the marketing technologies, right, and the great things that you can do with it. And so one of my first marketing consulting engagements outside was actually with a small software company in Europe, implementing sales automation, right, or marketing automation technologies. So in this case, it was about 4-5 years ago, based on Salesforce, right, and in Pardot. So I was very impressed about what technology can do for us, right, for us in marketing, and how easy it is actually to get the, how efficient, right, and easy it is actually to get the things done here in a very structured, very economical way.
Okay. I'm very curious, Thomas. When you're in America, they often say here in Europe that we lag behind the States in a year or a few years. So the new development in MarTech is in the States, and a little bit later we will also get that stuff.
In the UK and then the Netherlands, and then Germany.
Do you agree with that view? Is that your experience, or is that that used to be, but not really the case anymore? I'm just curious, because you being European and in the States, you might have a good view on that.
Yeah, I mean, it. So Europe, right? Well, is catching up, right, in utilizing the various technologies. I mean, you probably know that. So here in the US, right, the culture is a lot more open, adopting right these new technologies. So case in point, I was dabbling or focusing at some point into the CPQ market, right? So configure price quote, which is somewhat related, right, to the marketing, sales and marketing activities, processes, right, a company is doing. And I clearly saw there's at least a 3 years, the US, I probably would say, was 3 years ahead, right, in adopting right that technology until it eventually was getting mainstream, right, or getting that growth we saw here in the US in Europe, right? So UK, certainly the German speaking regions. So the DACH regions, right, as well as obviously the Netherlands. So yes, but also I think it's related to the adoption, right, of the cloud, right, the cloud technologies, and we saw there's a little bit of hesitation, right? So data privacy, data security. But I think the large corporations expanding or having expanded in Europe, Salesforce, just to name one, right? I think they really did a very, very good job in educating the clients, right, in Europe or Germany in what the technology can do. There are security concerns, which had been addressed, obviously, and so slowly, you know, but surely, right? You see that adoption, and with this, right? I mean, all the marketing technologies are now being, you know, adopted. I mean, there's certainly a very high demand, right, in Europe. For that marketing automation, right? We have the sales automation tools, the CRM systems in place, but the marketing automation, right, is still not quite there, right? As you or what you see here in the US.
Well, it's brings us to eConsultancy brought out a report at the beginning of this year. I think it was in February. You can look it up online on eConsultancy. On the investments that CMOs make in their marketing. And about, I think 2018 was the first year that the majority of budget, it was like 29%, so almost a third of budget goes to marketing technology. That's even more than to people. The year before, they invested even more in people and a little less on technology. But this was the first year that CMOs invested more in technology than people. People was like 25% and technology was like almost 30%. So this brings us also to the topic of this podcast is when you're spending a third of your budget as a marketer on technology, the question arises, how can you prove the efficiency or the ROI on this spending on technology, because a third of the budget is a lot of money for a lot of companies. So CMOs get questioned by their counterparts, the other C-level people like the CFO, CEO, hey, show us the value of all those investments. And I think you have some strong visions on that, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really, I'm glad you brought up, you know, that point, right? So when we're consulting, right, with, you know, clients, right, they come to us, right? And, really asking that main question, right? How, you know, can, marketing, right, prove its value, right, and show how we can actually contribute, right, to a firm's revenue, right, so that revenue contribution. I would say only a few years or short years ago, right, marketing, as you well know, right, was considered a cost center. Right, they were giving a budget, right, on a quarterly basis, if you will, mm-hmm. And that they spend the money largely on untrackable, you know, activities, right? Whether it's advertising, emailing, right? And there's really no tracking, measuring, or reporting on it, right? Which resulted in when the revenue numbers stalled, right, or actually fell, right, the marketing departments became these, for lack of a better term, scapegoats, right, unable to point, right, to measurable results, right, from their efforts resulting in, you know, from the efforts, right, and then the budget got cut. Right, resulting really in budget cuts. We need to save money, and it's happening all the time. Right, or it happened. So today, right, with these technologies, right, marketing executives, if you will, have now much better way, right, in changing the conversations, you know, they have with within the company's management team, right, speaking in these financial terms. Right. So about, you know, that putting a marketing plan together, what does this, you know, what does this mean? Right. How can marketing contribute? And by the way, putting the cost to that as well. Right. What does a specific, you know, marketing program, right, cost, right, and the activity along or the activities along with it cost, right, whether it's a short, right, or long term. Oh, and by the way, I always see, or many times I see, you know, there's a 90-day, you know, marketing plan, right? So 3 months and another 3 months. I always recommend that we look at this long term, at least for, you know, 1 to 3, putting a plan together for 1 to 3 years. Right, and then really flush that out, that planning, and really stick with it, right? And obviously, it requires regular, you know, adjustments, right? But then it allows us, right, to really measure and show, right, the impact, right, or the contribution marketing has to a firm's growth, and at the end of the day, profitability. Right. So to summarize this, right, you know, it needs to be in the form of a strategic marketing plan, right, with the clear activities, timeline, cost, as well as the, you know, the metrics, right, and the reporting behind it. This may be a subject of another podcast, right, where marketing analytics comes into play. Right. So today, I think marketers, right, we in marketing have good answers, right, to basic questions which are being often asked, right, in terms of, you know, how many clients, you know, how many sales qualified leads, you know, and so on. And then how, you know, that truly contributes at the end of the day to, you know, the revenues, right, of a company.
An approach that we've recently seen, I think it was shared by someone from Marketo at a marketing dinner that we recently had, was the attribution model, in which pipeline growth is measured from the beginning, because in a B2B environment, your sales cycle can be pretty long. So yes. How can be, and I encountered even today a customer or a potential customer that said to us, well, about 99% of our customers don't even buy online. And that's, like, I would say in 100% of cases in B2B, or 99% of cases, the customer buys through a personal visit or through an online WebEx or whatsoever. But the orientation yes. phase and influence phase is, of course, done online. But if you don't attribute any value to those earlier touch points in the sales cycle, well, you cannot prove your marketing value. Do you have any experience in let's say, these attribution models?
Yes. And this is a really, really good point, right? Because, marketing, automation tools, if you set them up, the proper way, right, you will be, able, right, to capture, right, that, very first, touch point, whether it's within a campaign, right, within, a marketing program, whatever you name it, right, mm-hmm. and follow, right, that lead, right, all the way through, right, to, at the end of the day, right, follow it through, and see, whether, that specific lead, right, from, this specific campaign, turns into a one deal, right, or one opportunities. Oh, and by the way, right, we have now the tools which also gives us or shows us the velocity, right? How much time, did it actually take, right? From okay, here was a lead on our website downloading, for example, a specific document, right, to, becoming a prospect, right, and all the way down to at some point buying something from us, right, from a company.
Thomas, listening to all this, and I'm trying to visualize myself as being a listener. And what if I'm a marketeer who is more in the creative part and not really a data-driven person themselves? Yeah. Being marketing, being more and more data-driven, is it something that I should be scared of? Or is it actually something that will help me to win an argument or debate that proves that what I'm doing is really helping the company, whilst in previous times I might have been considered as the arts and department, arts and crafts department, and not necessarily as a revenue helper of an enabler.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question, right? You should not be scared at all, right? I mean, I probably would argue, right, today's modern marketing teams, right, they somehow, need to adapt, right, to the technologies, right? Because, I mean, there's some good things being developed or have been developed. And at the end, it helps us, right, with the efficiency. Obviously, right, we need, right, the creative, right, the content creation, the messaging part, right. But so once you get over, or once you understand, right, how powerful, right, the marketing or sales and marketing technologies are, I mean, and it's becoming more easier and easier to use, easier to set up. It's a lot of, I think, the more structured, work which is required, right? And, speaking in very specific terms, right? And keeping and sharing this within the organization, within the marketing, as well as the broader organization, right? So case in point, I always see that, goals, versus outcomes, right? So it's a very important subject, I would say, right? I often see them mentioned in the same sentence. So a goal, might we all know, indicates an intention, such as increase in revenue, right? If we improve the customer retention, develop a new marketing channel, and so on, right? An outcome, right, is a very, you know, specific, or specifies a very specific result, right? Which is which could be, for example, grow the business, right, by 20%. Right, which also means we have to generate it or help generate, right, an additional X amount of revenue, right? Or another specific result could be acquire 100 net new customers, right, from, you know, a specific industry or segment, right, with at least an average or an average order value of $20,000. Right, in a, you know, specific quarter, right, or within a specific year, you know, whatever. So it's what we want to do is right. We want to really specify what are, you know, the outcomes, right? What are the results, right? And truly measure this. Whatever we do, right, to measure against that, and understand, right, whether what is working, right, whether it is working, right, and then obviously make direction or change directions, you know, as we go, right? So the outcomes, right? They really give us the clarity, right, of the success, as well as obviously define the priorities.
Cool. So, talking about those goals, Mark and I are visiting a lot of boardrooms. I would say we're visiting management teams, and we're talking to smaller companies, but also to the big companies. What always strikes me is that both in small and big companies, clear goals seem to be missing a lot. So of course everybody wants to grow revenue, but when we look at setting those goals for your marketing approach or your marketing year fiscal year or whatsoever, we always see that those goals are different when you ask a CMO or CEO or CFO. If you just ask them in the blank, what's your goal for next year? They always give different answers. So what we see is that those companies don't have clear goals. Is that something you see as well?
Yes. I see this all the time, right? So marketing, yes, they have a plan, right, which is somewhat on a high level, right, and I think what's needed is to really go down into the details, right, and like I had mentioned before, right, to define together, right, and then again speak in these financial terms, right, what does marketing need to do, right, to help grow the business by X percent, right? By what do we need to do in marketing to help increase, right, the revenue, you know, in for the next fiscal year, right, or for the next few years, right, by X, right, and so. Then you boil this down, right, to structure or put a marketing plan together and say, okay, this is you know, to the best of our knowledge, right, what we learned in the past, you know, this is how we will be able to achieve, right, these goals. Oh, and by the way, right, with these marketing programs, right, and the activities behind it, this is the cost, right? These are that's the budget, right? On a quarterly, half year, on an annual basis, we need, right? Cost in terms of program dollars, right? As well as obviously headcount dollars. Very important, right? And then you really develop, right, your dashboard, right? Agree, you know, what will be measured. By the way, this reminds me of Peter Drucker's quote, what gets measured gets managed, You know that very well.
Yeah, that's of course. So you're using a dashboard to create support on the create broader support on the C level. Yes. So what we see, don't see a lot is those dashboards actually being used.
Yes, yeah.
Because they are there. The technology is there. So you can use like a Tableau or a Clipfolio or like a ClickView or even Google Data Studio. All technologies are there, but they are not widely used within the C-suite. Of course, they are there on the financial department or marketing department, but we still see that they're not widely used in the C level. And actually, we are strong believers in that everything that gets measured gets managed.
Absolutely.
How I would say, just I'm thinking out loud here, but how can we get those C-level people to get on dashboards or using dashboards?
I would also add that with Peter Drucker's saying, what we've also noticed is that it's a lot of wishful thinking goals. That is that this is in our ivory tower, this is what we want, completely closing out the customer or the target audience, and really thinking that we can force everything on top of them and if they have no will, but that's actually completely the other way around. So getting everything measured and also seeing the figures on a dashboard so that you can see it daily and you can see it in real time makes everything much more realistic, and therefore abandoning the wishful thinking and really creating a marketing and an approach and having goals that are achievable.
Yes.
That's a little bit how I see it. So how do you think?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up, Mark. So let me share an example with you, right? So I recently got engaged with a client here in the US that the client deployed many years ago, I think 5 or 6 years ago, Salesforce, right, CRM. They have a nice, you know, customer base there where they consistently market, if you will, right, to that base, to the customer base, and lead space or prospect base. They used to use MailChimp, right, so that email, you know, marketing tool, and just about six to eight months ago, they moved to a Pardot, right, marketing automation, which opens them to, you know, a lot more, well, obviously, you know, automation, but also the reporting capabilities, right, in the back end is very very comprehensive, right? So I came into this, right, and kind of looked at what is happening. I did kind of an analysis as to, you know, what is happening right now. You know, what are the, you know, what are the expectations, right? And I clearly saw that, I mean, apart from the systems are somewhat disconnected, they're nowhere near utilizing, right, that technologies which would help them, let alone the reporting, right? So I literally said, look, we have some basics there. Yes, we have, you know, the analytics, you know, so website analytics, right? And you know, some email open rate, but very, you know, very basic, right? And it was just not enough for building a comprehensive dashboard to see how all of the marketing activities, right, what they currently do or drive, right, contribute, right, to the business, right, or to the growth of the business, right, and so we said, okay, where do we need to be, right, in terms of the we looked at this in terms of the reporting, right, and analytics or analysis, right, as to, you know, what is working. Right, so we said, okay, let's develop that state of the art, right, marketing reporting, the analysis, and really gain a deep insights, right, into, you know, the marketing campaigns, right, increasing, you know, the efficiency and the performance, right, mm-hmm. And I mean, these are very powerful words, obviously, right? But then we said, okay, what do we need to do, right? In order to get that kind of reporting, right? Get you know, that level of detail, right? Get that dashboard, you know, up and running, right? So questions. Then we sat down and said, okay, what do we need to understand? What do we need to better understand? Right. So just a few examples. So what opportunities are created? Right. Deals. Right. Are created by, you know, a specific segment. Right. By a specific size. Right. Or the industries. Right. So really that segmentation. Right. I identified then, you know, which content, you know, works for a specific audience, right? Whether we're sharing a blog, right, a blog post or a case study, right, or a product sheet, right, or a newsletter, right, and so providing, right, a piece of content, right, or a certain set of activities, a nurturing campaign or program, right, to a specific audience, right, and measure, you know, how effective that is, right? Overlay this with which programs work best, right, for a specific audience. Is a drip campaign, drip marketing campaign, you know, versus the website, right, versus literally calling, right, or LinkedIn campaign or face-to-face meetings, which are the most effective, right, for, you know, a specific audience, right? So, yep. So and that, once you have that granularity, right, you sit down, you work through this, right, and then in preparation, right, or always in how, you know, that reporting, you know, should look like, right, that I think helps tremendously.
Yeah, I think you're touching a very interesting point here, because this to our listeners that are using automation, not only Pardot, but also other automation and CRM systems. So what you're saying here is stop using, let's say, your automation tool or Salesforce Pardot as an enhanced email tool. But before you do anything else, dive into data and analytics and show what the data tells you. And based on that, you'll do the next marketing stuff, either being a campaign or nurturing or social or whatsoever. We're not like so much into campaigns because we think it's a continuous process, marketing. But that's a very handful or helpful tip that you're giving there, I think, to people, because it's a pitfall that a lot of people that start using marketing automation fall into. They start using automation, send out emails, send out more emails, try to do something sophisticated with landing pages and try to do everything, but they don't look really into the data. So that's a great tip you have there. Do you, because you're also Pardot certified.
Yes.
And shared with us. Do you have some tips for listeners that are, let's say, using Pardot and that you say, hey, I've seen this based on my experience as a Pardot certified professional ad customers that you can share with our listeners?
I mean, you know, one of the, yes, I mean, one of the, and you had mentioned this, right? I guess biggest hurdles, right, our, you know, that the clients have is, I now have this powerful, right, tool, right? And by all means, right? I mean, I do have a technical degree, but also a business degree. And I would never, you know, recommend, right, to implement some technologies unless, right, it really supports the business requirements, right, the business needs, right? Mm-hmm. So these systems need to help us, right, to get better whatever we do, right? Otherwise, it's a waste of effort, a waste of resources. But I fully agree with you, right, that it's not fully, you know, utilized, right, the way, you know, it's designed, right, and the giving us and also setting it up a certain way, right, so the initial planning, right, I think it's very important, right, and it takes a little bit more time, right, it takes a little more a strategic, you know, approach, right, but at the end, right, it really helps us, right? I mean, clients, you know, often told, so case in point, right? Clients are often told by marketers, right? That we here in Marketry or in the marketing guys will deliver, you know, measurable results, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you almost could argue, right, that phrase is annoyingly nebulous, right? Mm-hmm. But the question is then, how do you define this measurable result, right? What measurable results can actually our clients expect to see from them, right? And so this really was trying to answer that question a little bit, right, with my previous comments. Mm-hmm. Right? But I mean, when it comes down to, right, you know, whatever we do, right? So in this case, with Powdot, right? Setting up a structure, right? The segmentation. I mean, obviously, with Powdot, you have the lead scoring, right? Which is basically available to any tool, right? But you also have the lead grading, right? So that combination, right, is very, very powerful, right? Where lead grading is based on a prospect, right, location, industry, the company size, the title, right, or the job function, right, of a specific person. It combine this, right, with the lead scoring. Obviously, you know, you know this as well as I do, right? The page views based on site searches, the form, you know, all these things, right? Yeah. So combine that, right? You have you get a really, really good insights into in sharing this, right, with our sales organization. You really get insights as to, okay, here is a person, right? Here's a prospect, right? Before you go home, right, this is the last phone call you have to make, right, to that person, because that seems ready. So it's concept from, so really utilizing, right, what we have. But I mean, obviously, I mentioned this before, it requires, right, the proper planning, the proper setup, right, to get to that point, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's one very important point, right? Once you have that, right, and also you mentioned, you know, Tableau, at some point, so the analytics, so the business analytics tools are out there, right? They can actually get access, right, to that data, right? For so Salesforce and Powdot. It just happened. I'm not sure if this is or if you know that or the audience know that. Salesforce is acquiring Tableau.
Yep.
Right, for that very specific reason.
For the small amount of $250 million.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's, no, but we often mention this because this happened I think last month, but it's what it does show is that dashboarding or measuring results is getting more and more important because Salesforce doesn't do anything without a reason. So, and this is what it shows. And what you're giving here to our listeners is very important information because I think we spent a podcast on it earlier, how to, let's say, start using marketing automation. But the whole foundation is your preparation and segmentation.
Yes.
So if you're, and we see this happen over and over again because it's so easy especially if you're buying a cheaper marketing automation solution. And I'm not saying that is a worse solution or a bad solution, because of course you can buy a HubSpot or ActiveCampaign or whatsoever if you're a smaller business. But the pitfall of that is buying it, implement the beacons on your website, put some forms on and start marketing without doing any proper planning or segmentation. And the whole basis for good marketing automation and basically even get to an ROI, because otherwise you're just playing around, is good planning on your segmentation.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree that, quite honestly, the automation forces you to become very realistic and to become very honest about your own business and about your target group, etc. Without the whole automation part, you can very easily get lost in, just campaigning.
Yeah, just sending emails. Yeah. And then anything, and someone pops up in the department and says, hey, can we do something for this segment? Yeah, sure, just go ahead and we'll shoot out an email. But you have to think about what you're doing. And that's, I think, very worthwhile information. And we can't say it enough. You know, it's so easy to buy a marketing automation solution, implement it, and start sending out emails and start doing those behavioral stuff and then just sending out more emails.
Yeah, well, let's pose the question to Thomas, who is our interview expert on it. Will automation or marketing technology, will automation help you plan better? Will that make you more strategic? Thomas?
Thanks for, you know, I probably would say yes, right? I mean, you have the capabilities. But I think a very important component here is, right, that so the management team, right, needs to be, you know, behind, right, that, you know, that change, if you will, right, the change of directions, right, the adoption, right, of doing things different, right? So it goes a little bit into almost like a business, design and transformation, right, where sales automation and marketing is part of that, right? If everyone, the bottom line is everyone needs to be on board. Right. Everyone needs to be in stakeholders, right, need to be, literally in that room, right, nodding up and down and say, yes, you know, this is the right thing to do. It will help us in the long term, right? There's some investment, there's some work, you know, which need to be done, right? Some really strategic planning and then going down into the execution, right? And then really stick with that plan, and really implement that. Obviously, right, it's a continuous improvement process, right? We look at, we measure, we collect the data, we correlate, you know, the data, and improve this, you know, over time, right? So it's we cannot expect, right, that everything, you know, is working, you know, instantly, right? It really is that continuous improvement process.
Thomas, curious question. In your experience with this whole material, what happens more often? Is it more that the one who wants to use the marketing automation, let's say the user, are they the starting point for this kind of processes, or is it more that the CMO,
or even I think, the yeah, CEO,
considers, well, we have to change, has to be done, and we'll have to find a tool for that?
Yeah, I think it's on the, you know, on the executive level, right? I mean, and these are the conversations, right, we're having, right, almost on a daily or weekly basis, where you start discussing the, you know, effectiveness, right, of a marketing, you know, organization, right? What do we need to do, right, to really move marketing, right, from a cost center, right, to, you know, a revenue center, right, being part of, being accountable, you know, and be part of, you know, the, I guess the business outcomes, right, of a firm, right, short term, you know, as well as long term. And realizing, right, that it certainly, you know, comes with a commitment, right? Ideally, right, a long-term commitment where, you know, budget, right, is set aside. Certainly, you know, the budget is measured against or the, you know, the goals, sorry, the results, right, are measured, right, against that, you know, budget. And and again, really looking at this in you know, from a financial perspective, right? Say, here's some investment, right, I'm making into, you know, our or we're making into our marketing departments, right? This is the expectation, right, in terms of the return of investment, in terms of the growth, right? Marketing is really contributing to. Again, short-term as well as long-term.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our iTunes channel. Also, if you want to be interviewed on this podcast, or if you have any questions on marketing technology, send me an email on e.crum@marketingguys.nl. Thank you.